All right, well, we're going to get into this today. We are moving into a season of emotionally healthy discipleship, all right, or emotionally healthy spirituality. And so you see this slide here up on the screen, and it might be on the cover of your bulletin as well. But what I like about this slide is you got to look closely to see the hidden message in it. What we are going to do is we are going to go through the seven marks of emotionally healthy discipleship. And so we're going to spend one Sunday on each one of the seven marks. And what are those seven marks? Well, they're all hidden. Oh, you got to go back to that slide. They're all hidden in the slide. So if you want to know what the next seven sermon titles are, they're all hidden in the slide up there. And so what we're going to be doing is on Sundays, we're going to be preaching about these seven marks of emotionally healthy discipleship. And then on Wednesday nights, we're going to be getting together and learning the tools and putting into practice all of the tools to live out this emotionally healthy spirituality. And so that's what the next seven Sundays will be. But this first Sunday is going to be the introduction. We're going to dive into this thing. And it's really, this week is about diagnosis. All right, diagnosis. So we're going to be diagnosing as a church, why have we missed the emotionally healthy component of discipleship? And then on Wednesday night at our first group this Wednesday, we're going to be looking at ourselves and diagnosing what aspects, what symptoms am I showing of being emotionally unhealthy? So it's going to be about diagnosis. Now listen, diagnosis is not necessarily fun. Not everything about discipleship or growing in God is necessarily fun. You know, Dr. Val, if you don't mind me using your example this week, but Dr. Val, over the course of about 3 days, heard from one doctor that her leg was not broken, and then heard from another doctor that her leg was broken, and then heard from a third doctor that her leg was not broken, and then finally got confirmation that, yes, her leg is broken. All right, and she got confirmation from a CT scan, so now they know it's broken. They know exactly where it's broken. And that was disappointing, but now that you have the right diagnosis, you can get the right treatments, right? And now Val could just deny that her leg is broken, and she could just come to church and jump around and just be like, it's not broken. Meanwhile, she's probably doing tremendously more damage to herself. But because now she knows the diagnosis, now she can get the right treatment and get that leg back to being healthy. That's the same thing that we're doing with this emotionally healthy discipleship. We want to be able to understand what are the issues that I'm facing, right? What are the symptoms? What's going on? Remember last week we talked about we have got to be able to embrace responsibility for our present condition so that we can now move forward. And so that's what we want to do. We don't want to deny it. We don't want to ignore it. We want to understand it so that we can move forward towards health, right? And so this might seem a little challenging, but hey, the safest place to deal with things is in the presence of God. The safest place to deal with things is around people who love you and care about you, right? And that we can do it in a spirit of compassion, and that's what we're going to do. And I'm actually going to close with this verse, but I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit right now, and I'm also going to open with this verse. And that is Philippians 1:6. So Antonio, I'm going to keep you on your toes. You got to jump all the way to the end of the slideshow. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So as we go through this week, as we go through this sermon, as you read chapter 1 of your new textbook, the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality textbook, as you read chapter 1 and as we go into Wednesday night and we do the difficult work, just remember that God is completing things and perfecting things in our lives, that we are on a journey. And I love this verse because it addresses the beginning of the journey. God began a good work in us. For each one of us, that was the day that we came to salvation in Christ Jesus. God began a good work in us. We know when the journey's going to end, on the day of Christ Jesus, when we stand before the Lord and we wait to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But in between the beginning and the end, we are on a journey. And that journey is a journey of continual perfecting of things in our lives. Now, we will never reach perfection until that end date. But along the way, we want to grow. We want God to deal with things. We want to move through it. So let this be your anchor that you hold on to. As we do the difficult work this week, just remember, I'm on a journey, and God is perfecting things in my life, and I'm growing. And it's okay if my journey is going at a different speed than somebody else's journey. And it's okay that God's not fixing everything all at one time, but that he's working on it slowly, little by little. That's okay. I'm on a journey, and God is working things out in my life. Amen? That's our hope today. That's what we're going into. So on that note now, let's actually get into the sermon notes. You can find them in your bulletin. You can find them on the church app. They're attached to this video if you're watching on our website, or they're attached to the audio podcast if you're listening to this sermon. Here's our big picture point. I'm taking this directly from Pastor Pete Scazzaro, and he is the one that has written all of the emotionally healthy material. And if you've started reading chapter one, you've kind of learned about his background, but he started pastoring back in the 80s. But he did it in a very unhealthy way, like many of us have, until 1996, when he started this emotionally healthy journey. So this is a journey that he has been on for 26 years, and that he has been now sharing with churches all over the world for over 20 years now. So this is time-tested, biblically foundation material about discipleship and what it means to follow the Lord. So I just wanted to throw that in there about who is Pete Scazzaro. Here it is. Emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It is not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Let's say it again. It is not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. So let's dig into some scriptures here, and let's look at how Jesus laid this out for us. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Right? So this lawyer now, I don't know if they had any real authentic desire to get truth from Jesus. They were really trying to test him and trap him, but they never could. But they asked him, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, I'll do you one better. I'll give you the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so just within that response from Jesus, we see that what Jesus says, the most important thing that we can get from the Bible is that we would love God well, that we would love ourselves well, and that we would love our neighbors well. Are you guys with me? That we would love God well, that we would love ourselves well, and that we would love our neighbors well. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes it like this. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What is he saying? He's saying, man, I could preach the greatest messages. I can evangelize. I could share the gospel. I could speak in tongues. I could do all of that. And if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Right? So he's like, man, I could be prophesying, sharing words of knowledge, right? I could be praying and seeing miraculous things happen. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Right? So I could be super generous and give everything I have, even my own body, but without love, it's nothing. Think about that. What Paul is saying is he's saying miracles, preaching the gospel, speaking in tongues, prophesying, words of knowledge, radical generosity. He says we could be doing all of that And if we aren't loving God well, loving ourselves well, and loving our neighbors well, it all comes up empty. Right? It all comes up empty. And then Jesus laid it out like this. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So could it be that the degree to which we love ourselves is the degree to which we are loving God? And the degree to which we are loving ourselves is the degree to which we are loving our neighbors. So our ability to love others is flowing out of our ability to love God and our ability to love ourselves. That sounds to me like being emotionally healthy, right? Being emotionally healthy. And that the world will know that we are followers of Jesus by this amazing love that we have. So what does all of this mean? It means that we have been using the wrong measure of spiritual maturity. We have, as a church, have been using the wrong measure of spiritual maturity. We have used measures like how long I've been going to church. Well, I've been going to church for 25 years, so I must be spiritually mature. Well, listen, if you were 25 years old and you were still pooping in your diaper and waiting for your mom to feed you, you couldn't just say, I'm 25 years old, I'm mature. No, that's not the measure of maturity, right? Right, we use the measure of maturity as, well, this is how many times I've read through the Bible. This is how many Bible studies I've completed. This is how many scriptures I've memorized, right? This is the ministries that I've done. We've used all of these measures of spiritual maturity. And maybe we've missed all along that the measure of spiritual maturity is how well we're able to love. Let's take a hard look at ourselves. This is actually in Pete Scazzaro's book. He had a young lady in his church who came to his church, and she had actually left the faith and left the church for like 5 years. And then she found her way back into Pastor Pete's church. And this young lady, Amanda, said this. She said, why is it that so many Christians make such lousy human beings? Right? How is it that we can love Jesus and yet treat people so terribly? Or be so selfish or be so self-consumed or have such broken relationships or have such things broken down in our lives? And then we want to share the gospel and bring people into the church. Pastor Erwin McManus said it like this. He said, the greatest enemy to the movement of Jesus Christ is Christianity. Whew, that's difficult to look at, right? Ron Sider, who's a Canadian theologian, he wrote this, whether the issue is marriage and sexuality or money and care for the poor, evangelicals today are living scandalously unbiblical lives. The data suggests that in many crucial areas, evangelicals are not living any differently than their unbelieving neighbors. Right? So we have to take a real look at ourselves. I was hanging out with Kavika yesterday. We got to golf together, and we were talking about, man, just these last 2 years of this pandemic, hasn't it seemed like it's just brought the worst out of everybody? The division and the arguing and the yelling and the screaming and the taking one side and refusing to listen to anybody on the other side and all of this, it's just seemed to have brought the worst out of us. And here's the reality. The reality is that most unbelievers, most people that don't go to church have a certain view of people that do go to church, and it's not necessarily a super positive view. So what is it going to take? Jesus says, you will be known by your love for one another. So why is it so important that we go on this emotionally healthy journey? Well, number one, it's dangerous to be emotionally unhealthy. We do damage to ourselves, to our families, to our relationships. But also, because maybe being emotionally healthy and loving well can be the most attractional thing that we can offer to people that don't know Jesus. Are you guys with me? I'm not being too hard, am I? Come on, we're speaking the truth in love today. So let's look at in your notes the four fundamental failures of modern discipleship. So this is us diagnosing the church, right? And this is all of us. This is not me wagging a finger at anybody. This is me doing one of these. The four fundamental failures of modern discipleship. Number one, we tolerate emotional immaturity. We tolerate emotional immaturity. And I was reading another book by Pastor Mark Batterson, who's a great pastor in Washington, D.C., and he said this: what we tolerate eventually will dominate. Listen to that. What we tolerate eventually will dominate. And as a church, we have tolerated emotional immaturity. What does that mean? What does that look like that we have tolerated emotional immaturity? Well, we do things like, well, we let so-and-so serve in ministry because they're just so gifted in ministry, but we have to walk on eggshells around them so that they don't blow up. Or so-and-so says a lot of really rude, passive-aggressive things, but we just say, oh, that's just Auntie so-and-so. She's always been like that. She loves Jesus, right? Or, you know, we treat people with kid gloves. We're just so careful around them, and we just want to baby them. Why? Because, well, we don't want them to leave the church. And then after spending months or years of just being so careful and baby, I mean, you know what happens? They leave the church. We tolerate emotional immaturity. Why do we do this? It's because from almost the very beginning of the church, we elevate the spiritual and we distrust the emotional. We elevate the spiritual and we distrust the emotional. And here's the thing, this is not biblical. It's been rooted in the history of the church, even dating back to some of the early church fathers, but it's not biblical. You know where it actually comes from? It comes from the Greek philosopher Plato, who actually said, the spirit is good, the body is bad. And that Greek philosophy found its way into the church, and for centuries, the church has elevated the spiritual because the spirit is good, and distrusted the emotional. Why? Because the body is bad. Anything in the physical realm must be bad. And so we have ignored or distrusted the emotional. We have just said, well, emotions are just sinful. That's just a broken part of who we are, and we don't want to deal with that. So what does emotionally healthy discipleship look like? Well, we've got this slide that if we're going to look at ourselves as human beings, that there's actually five aspects of being human. There's the spiritual, but there's also the physical, the emotional, the social, and the intellectual. The spiritual, the physical, the emotional, the social, and the intellectual. And to deny any one of those areas is to miss out on living the completeness as a human being that Jesus died for us. You guys with me? We're missing out. And so we have distrusted the emotional, and because we have distrusted it, we have ignored it. We have tried to avoid it. We have tried to deny it. Listen, to deny that we are emotional beings is to deny reality. And we cannot grow in discipleship unless we are rooted in reality. Jesus is our model for everything, right? What did Jesus model for us? Well, Jesus grieved. Jesus shed tears. Jesus got angry. Jesus felt compassion. Jesus loved the unlovely. Jesus experienced astonishment and wonder. And then Jesus felt intense stress. Stress so intense, in fact, that blood vessels in his head began to burst and the blood came out of his sweat glands. So if our model Jesus lived this emotional life, why would we deny it? Why would we ignore that emotions are a huge part of who we are? We have been created in the image of God. And God feels emotions, and so we should too. So we should no longer tolerate emotional immaturity. We should embrace that emotional wholeness is a part of our discipleship in Jesus. Number two, failure of modern discipleship is that we have emphasized doing for God over being with God. We have emphasized doing for God over being with God. Our discipleship focuses on, let's just get people involved. Let's get them doing stuff. If we can just get them doing stuff, they'll stick in the church. But we focus so much on doing that we missed out on being with God. Man, me walking out of my house this morning, my natural tendency would have just been to put my head down, come over to the church, I'm opening up the church, I'm getting ready for service, I got things to do. But no, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to miss out on a beautiful moment with God. So I'm just going to stop, and I'm just going to be with God for a few minutes while I listen to the birds sing. Because I want to learn this emotionally healthy thing. I'm not going to spend too much time on this point because this one's going to become a whole sermon down the road here. But I will say this, work for God that is not nourished by a deep interior life with God will eventually deteriorate and us with it. Work for God that is not nourished by a deep interior life with God will eventually deteriorate and us with it. Pete Scazzaro says, we are doing trauma to our souls by constantly trying to do the work of God without being nourished by God. Number three, fundamental failure of modern discipleship is we ignore the treasures of church history. We ignore the treasures of church history. You say, well, what does this mean? We are one stream within the larger river of God. We've got to understand that. Who are we? We are a Book of Acts church. We are a charismatic Pentecostal church. That's who we are. But we've got to recognize that we are one stream within the larger river of God. For the first 1,000 years of church history, there was only one church of God. We know it now as the Orthodox Church. But for 1,000 years, that was all of us. We were all the Orthodox Church. And then around 1000 AD, the Catholic Church split off from the Orthodox Church. And now you had two streams. And then around 1500 AD, under Martin Luther and the Reformation, the Protestant Church split off from the Catholic Church. And now we have three streams. And now what do we know in the Protestant Church? We have lots of streams. We've got Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists and Charismatics. We've got lots of streams. And what we tend to do is dismiss all the other streams and just put blinders on that this is just the stream that we're in. And so we dismiss the Orthodox. They're too into their little paintings. That's just weird. We dismiss the Catholics. They have way too many man-made structures and ceremonies. We dismiss the Baptists. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And so we dismiss everybody else, and we just stay in our little stream. And by doing that, we miss out on so many treasures that church history has for us. So I pose this question. Do we have an openness to learn from Christians throughout the history of the church, as well as Christians from around the world who may be very different from ourselves? Do we have an openness to learn the treasures of church history, even from people who come from a stream that's very different from our stream? And if we would be willing to do that, we would find a greater depth in our discipleship. Number four, we define success wrongly. We define success wrongly. In the church, we have embraced business models, which some of that we have to, because we do have to function as a corporation, within the United States, and we got to do all of these things, and we got to keep a budget, and we got to be good stewards of our money. But we have taken the principles of the business world and used the same principles of success to apply them to the church. What does that mean? Bigger is always better. So success means the church is growing. Right? Bigger budget, bigger building, more butts in the seats. Call it butts and bucks or nickels and noses. All right, whatever the case may be, we define success by bigger's got to be better. But what about this? What if a church is growing bigger, but it's actually failing in its mission? Is that possible? Have we thought about that? So instead, what if we define sex, success, and it has nothing to do with how big our church is or how much it's grown? But look at this definition of success. Becoming the person God calls you to become and doing what God calls you to do in His way and according to His timetable. Becoming the person God calls you to become and doing what God calls you to do in His way and according to His timetable. Right? Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works He planned for us long ago. Right? This definition of success is the whole heart behind the masterpiece process that we'll be unveiling in May. What is success? Success is when we are becoming who God intended us to be, doing the good works He planned long ago, and doing them His way and in His timing. And if we can apply that definition of success to each person who calls Kauai Bible Church home, then we'll be successful. No matter how big the new building is, no matter how big the budget is, no matter how big any of that is, we'll be successful. Are you guys with me? So this is the diagnosis. This is why we have failed to address emotional health. And because we failed to address emotional health, we fail to see great transformation. Now, Pastor Pete, in his book, shares a journey that he went on as a pastor, and I can relate to it, that he was frustrated because he's leading the church, but he's not seeing the transformation that the Bible talks about. He's not seeing this great shift in people's lives. And so he goes through this journey. Well, I know what we're missing. We just need to read the Bible more. So let's just get people to read the Bible more, and we'll get more and more Bible reading. And then that didn't bring about the transformation. So he's like, we just got to pray more. We got to get more people praying, more prayer meetings, more gathering for prayer. And then that didn't bring any transformation. We got to do more Bible studies, more small groups. Let's get people into more small groups, and we'll do more Bible studies, and we'll see more. And it still didn't happen. Oh, we need more of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're missing. We need more soaking times. We're going to soak in the Holy Spirit. And he just kept going from one thing after another. And didn't see the transformation in people's lives until he embraced this concept of emotionally healthy discipleship. And you can see in your notes, this is our definition of emotionally healthy discipleship, and this is what we're going after as we move forward. We're going to slow down to be with Jesus. We're going to go beneath the surface of our lives to be transformed by Jesus. And we're going to offer our lives as a gift to the world for Jesus. All right, so let's break this down. We're going to slow down to be with Jesus. Through this emotionally healthy journey, we're going to learn aspects of contemplative Christianity that comes from different streams of church history than our own. We're going to learn things like silence and meditation, and we're going to learn some different practices and some different prayers and some different things to slow down to be with Jesus, because if we can't love God well, we're not going to love ourselves well, and we're not going to love others well. So we're going to slow down to be with Jesus, and we're going to learn how to love God well. Then we're going to go beneath the surface so that we can be transformed by Jesus. Right, we're going to allow Jesus to work on us, and this qualifies as the loving ourselves well. And so we've got a picture of the iceberg, and you guys get the illustration here, yeah, that when you see an iceberg, what you see above the surface is only about 10% of the mass of the iceberg. And you see, with our regular discipleship practices, generally, we're only addressing what we see above the surface. But to experience transformation, we've got to get below the surface. So we're going to do the hard work through this emotionally healthy curriculum to get below the surface, to begin to work on the parts of us that nobody sees. And if we'll work on the parts of us that nobody sees, it'll start changing the stuff that people do see. You guys with me? We're going to work on the parts that nobody sees, and it's going to change the things that everybody sees. We're going to go beneath the surface, and then we're going to offer our lives as a gift to the world for Jesus. Deeply changed people have a more powerful and a more sustainable impact in the world. Right? And so we want the world to know Jesus, So we're going to get healthier so that the world can see the fullness of us and the healthy part of us. And maybe they'll be attracted to that as we love God well, love ourselves well, and love others well. Let me invite the worship team to come back up today. You know, one of the questions I get asked quite often whenever we're doing something with the church is I get asked, well, is that how you did it on the mainland? Or is that how you guys did it at City Harvest Church? There was kind of like this assumption that everything we did at Kauai Bible Church was just some sort of a prepackaged plan that I brought with me from City Harvest Church. And that's just not the case. Listen, if I were to do an honest evaluation, I would say the two things that I brought with me from City Harvest Church, one is the modifications we made to the bylaws. We used City Harvest Church's bylaws as a template to modify the bylaws. And the style of worship that we do. Right? Those two things I brought with me from City Harvest Church. That's it. Everything else has been an outflow of what the team has worked on together here at Kauai Bible Church. So the discipleship process, encounter God, belong in community, build your faith, engage in service, the way we do belong groups, the way we do rooted groups, none of that did we do at City Harvest Church. Now we're moving into a season where I think we're doing some things that are maybe even more new, more radical, in terms of doing something new with the church. And this can be scary and this can be difficult, and some people are like, I don't like it. You know, let's just do church the same old way. Well, listen, if we do church the same old way, we're going to get the same old results. And I don't want the same old results. I want to see all of us reach a new level in our journey with Jesus. And out of reaching our new level, I want to see us have a more powerful and more sustainable ministry to the world. And to do that, we got to do some things different. So this emotionally healthy thing, man, this is new. We're going to dig into some stuff. And then the masterpiece process, man, again, that's not something I brought with me. That's something that the team here has been working on for over a year and a half to see this thing come. And it's something that's so new and so different. I have not seen it done at any church anywhere. But we're going to do it. Why? Because we want different results. So we're going to do things different. But the goal is that we can love God well, love ourselves well, and love others well. We can be the fullness of who God created us to be. And we can walk out the life he called us to live. Amen? Will you stand together with me? Let's close with Philippians 1:6 again. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's go on this journey together, and let's remember God is working, and he's working in his time, and even if it's too slow for you, don't fret. Even if it's a little painful, don't fret. God is working some things to completion in our lives as we go on our journey with him. Amen? Jesus, I just pray right now, as we embark on this emotionally healthy journey, that you would open our hearts to the move of your Spirit in our lives. Jesus, remind us that we are in a safe place when we are in your presence. We are in a safe place when we are in your presence. And in that safe place, Lord, open us up. Cause us to look deep within ourselves. Reveal the depths of our heart, Lord, and the things that you desire to work on. Lord, you know what we can handle and you know what we cannot handle. So don't reveal too much, God. Just reveal what we need to see today. Just reveal what we can handle today. You can reveal more as we go on the journey, God. But just reveal what we can handle today. Just reveal enough to give us just enough courage to take the first step on this journey. To just start moving forward. To start experiencing this new place of emotional health and wholeness, Lord. Challenge our traditions, God. Challenge our status quo. in the newness and the discomfort of newness. God, you can shape new things in us and through us. But Lord, most importantly, we walk this journey with you. We don't walk it in our own strength. We don't walk it in our own ability. We're going to walk it in you, Lord. Jesus, because we know if we're walking with you, we'll get to the right place. And we'll get to the right place at the right time. Jesus. So call us, Lord, to go where you are going. Jesus. We are excited about the future of Kauai'i Bible Church. We are excited about the next season. We are excited about the great ministry we can do on Kauai'i and around the world. So, Lord, we're willing to do the work on ourselves so that we can do the great works you've planned for us in advance. God, call us together in a great spirit of unity as we go on this journey. We submit ourselves to you, and we look with great anticipation for the miracles you're going to do in our hearts, in our relationships, and through our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.